I mean, I've heard a lot of people tell me just stay independent as long as you can. If you're going to sign with a publisher or a record label, like, make sure they're like your biggest fans, you know? Like, make sure they genuinely love what you do.
Welcome to Boston Music Explorer. I'm Dan.
I'm Jack.
And we're the Barton Brothers. We're songwriters and performers that are newly based in Boston.
This podcast is our excuse to talk to people who are doing interesting things in the Boston music scene. If you're doing something cool, we want to hear about it.
If you like what you hear and want to send some love to the algorithm gods, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And enjoy this episode of Boston Music Explorer. Welcome back, my friends. Two shows in 2 weeks. We are back in business. And today on the podcast, we have the talented and charming Lauren Weintraub. Lauren is a 19-year-old singer-songwriter and is currently a songwriting major at Belmont University in Nashville. And she's now making the transition to Nashville full-time. So it was an exciting time to be talking to her as she doubles down on her career path and takes a huge step forward. We had a lot to talk about, as Jack and I were both heavily into music theater, songwriting, and performing since we were about her age, except that she is light years ahead of where we were at the time, so there's that. She was recently on America's Got Talent and has handfuls of awards to her name that I won't get into now. I'll put some links in the show notes. But this was a really relaxed, fun conversation that jumps around a lot. So I won't waste too much time with an introduction. Instead, you'll hear us kick it off with a few thoughts about Chick-fil-A and Chipotle as we make our way towards music, songwriting, street performing, and beyond. So enjoy, rate, review, and pass it on to a friend. We now have over 1,000 downloads of the show and 5 5-star reviews. Our next goal is 10, so please jump into the iTunes store and let us know what you think. We are happy to give you a shout-out if you do so. It's at Lauren Weintraub on Instagram and laurenweintraub.com. We are at The Barton Brothers on Instagram and Facebook and thebartonbros.com. That's where you find us. Check the show notes for more relevant links and enjoy the episode.
Chipotle is so necessary.
It is.
We went to Chick-fil-A last night for like a suburban throwback.
Do they have it here?
No. It was in like the suburbs.
Oh.
Driving back from New Hampshire.
We have Chick-fil-A on campus.
That's dangerous. What mine was too.
So dangerous.
It was free with our meals.
Yeah, same.
Right.
Our games all the way.
Yeah, Lara said she had on like they would have it in the high school cafeteria and tell you like indoctrinate the kids.
Jesus.
With that. Hey, get them going.
Chick-fil-A juice, extra young. All right, we're rolling here. Woo! This is Boston Music Explorer, and today we have Lauren Weintraub in the house. Everybody can excuse the sound of the air conditioner. It is the hottest day of 2018 so far, and I hope, period.
Yeah.
But welcome
Thank
to the
you.
Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. I'm not good at these transitionary things. You wanted to start off by telling us a little bit about who you are, where you come from, and what you're up to.
Yeah, so my name is Lauren. I know you guys, but hello Indeed. To everyone listening. I'm from Sudbury, Massachusetts. I grew up there basically my whole life until I went to school last year in Nashville. Basically, I grew up doing theater, tons of theater. Totally thought I wanted to like go get a BFA and be on Broadway. And I discovered songwriting like my first year of high school.
Okay.
And that's when I started writing, and the rest is kind of history.
Nice. Yeah.
What were your what shows did you do?
I did Annie like way too many times.
As Annie?
Yes. I sang Tomorrow probably 100 times total.
Yeah, that kind of that.
It's a good show. It was done well.
Yeah. It's a great show. Yeah, it was so fun. But
yeah, the theater I was at in Denver just did that this last year, and it's like super cute. Everyone like hates doing it though. Everyone's like, "Oh, Annie, we're doing it again." It's pretty cute.
By like the fifth time, I was like, "Okay, I should probably."
This is over.
Yeah, I'm getting too old for this.
I hope I can outgrow this anytime. did you fully transition out of theater when you started writing, or is it something you kind of like all through high school you were doing theater, songwriting, performing, copy shops? Like what kind of started to take priority as you got different interests?
I don't like to put myself in a box, I guess, so I kind of never really gave one or the other up, but songwriting kind of slowly took like up the majority of my time. But I did a show like at the Huntington Theater.
Oh, nice.
Like 2 years ago, so it's still something I love, and I love acting, but songwriting's like where my heart is right now, for sure.
That's yeah. I think I would say pretty similar to us. I mean, we did theater growing up, but Jack in particular.
I did theater full time for like 5 years.
Yeah, did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss it a lot. I miss the community and like
yeah.
the vibe of the theater experience, but it's not like if you're not bound for Broadway, which I certainly was not, it kind of comes to an end.
Right. If you hit the local ceiling.
Yeah, once you hit the ceiling, it's over.
I mean, it's a totally different industry, like
right.
so different.
Unless yeah. Were you a dancer too growing up?
Uh-huh.
Were you in ballet classes
everything,
as a kid?
Yeah. I mean, I loved it and I still love it, but it's very intense. I feel like the music scene's a little bit more chill, but in different ways. I don't
yeah.
know.
I could kind of see that, and I
yeah.
do see how there wouldn't be like a lot of crossover to the skill sets, because one of our first episodes we interviewed Desi Oakley, who's on the National Waitress tour.
Oh my gosh,
I know,
that's so cool.
She's like super nice, crazy talented obviously, and is a singer-songwriter as well, you know, but you can see like trying to balance those is impossible.
Mm.
And it's
and
not,
being on tour too,
yeah, with
yeah.
the schedule.
That show's so funny, though.
I know.
That's, like, one of my favorite shows.
We are, like,
diehard Sarah Bareilles fans.
Me too. We'll get along right now.
I think so.
I'm obsessed with her.
So, in that case, I guess we have a pretty clear picture of what high school must have been like for you, because it was
yes.
probably very similar to what it was like for us.
Yes.
Were you a choir kid as well?
I never actually did choir, but
wow.
I did a cappella, so that was
oh,
great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it, like jazz a cappella or, like, the, like Pitch
like
Perfect
the,
style acapella.
It was like Pitch Perfect style acapella.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were all like super close.
Mm.
People like dated everyone. It was
yeah.
a good time.
Okay, yeah, we're kind of familiar.
I was always so resentful towards Pitch Perfect because when we did acapella in high school, but it was like jazz choir and it was very dorky and we didn't know. I mean, we sounded good,
very
but when you
jazzy.
Watch those movies and it's like everyone's like auto-tuned to Jesus and it sounds incredibly like
oh.
this is not what anyone sounds like ever.
Yeah, not at
why
all.
Why is that so true?
If you just want to see a bunch of like virgin 16-year-olds whisper into a mic, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, trying so hard. Is
oh
this scatting? Am I scatting yet?
We did like the okay, so in Pitch Perfect they go to like the competition or whatever.
Regional.
The ICC
regionals.
We did like the ICHSAs, which
oh, okay.
is like the high school version.
Oh, okay,
mm-hmm.
cool.
But it was very intense.
I
like
bet.
People take it very seriously.
Yeah.
I know. I miss those days when the world was small enough. It's like this matters.
this
matters
is my
so
whole
much.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Simpler.
But you
I
stopped did you
wait
when you were when you did songwriting in high school, did you like drop out of theater? Like were you a theater kid in high school too?
I never did the shows at my school just because, like, you had to go, like, every day after school.
Right.
And I kind of wanted to write songs.
Wow, you started taking it seriously
pretty
early.
Yeah.
So you're at Belmont
yeah.
now, right?
Yes.
And what are you studying there?
My major is songwriting.
Okay, good deal. Like,
yeah.
Kind of
people like me who don't know, is Belmont in Nashville?
It is in Nashville, yeah.
Oh,
it's kind of, is it like the Berkeley of Nashville?
That's what people describe it as. Yeah.
Okay, good deal.
That's what I would say.
Is it only a music school or a music industry school?
No, they actually have like a huge nursing like major.
Okay.
Like half my friends are nursing majors. It's really weird. So, no.
And you are making the full-time transition to Nashville this month.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I bet. I mean,
amazing.
So kind of talk to us about what has led you there, because I mean you're in the middle of school, you could easily for the next 3 years
mm-hmm.
be like coming back and forth. Why does it feel like it needs to be a full-time transition at this
yeah,
point?
I mean that's a great question. I just love it there. I think it's similar to Boston in the way that like people are just really cool and like chill and vibey, but the music is just everywhere and like
right.
I write songs like every day when I'm there and I
mm-hmm.
can perform and sing my own stuff, which I like love doing.
Right.
And I probably will come back here like every now and then to perform just because
yeah,
I love
of course.
Street performing, but
right.
It just feels like it's time and I don't know, my life is kind of there now, which is
right.
weird to think that it's not here anymore, but
right. Once yeah, when slowly you're like, you know,
I know.
Your book of connection starts like
moving.
Outpacing what you had back home. It's like, oh geez.
It's crazy.
Did you just finish freshman year right now?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Three more to go.
Nice. So we listened a little bit, and you definitely have a country sound, but you're from Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, I'm from
did the
from
country
here.
Sound come authentically to you, or like, obviously authentically, but when did that, was that a transition, or were you always a country singer?
I used to hate country music.
Interesting.
Like, if you asked me, like, 3 years ago, I probably would have said, like, I literally hate it.
Really?
But I don't know. I started like visiting Nashville and then living in Nashville, and it kind of just like seeped into my blood. And then I was like, oh, there's no avoiding this.
It's like country music now.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, guys, that's not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to do that. But I kind of like what I've been doing recently is like a folk country pop mix. So.
Absolutely.
It's not full like country.
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, the country is having like a respectable moment in the sun in that there is like some proper crossover happening and some like real mainstream stuff that's not like that you wouldn't just hear on country radio.
Right.
Yeah.
Stapleton-esque stuff.
Right, exactly. And you can't just point to Taylor Swift for that. There's a lot going on. Chris Stapleton, like you said, or like Maren Morris,
who
just got like, you
the
know,
pop cut,
is now like a pop star.
Yeah.
So there is definitely some crossover happening. It's a good time to be doing that.
It
would
is.
You say that you're like, so if you weren't into country as a kid, what were your musical influences like?
I mean, musical theater. That
well,
was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think that's part of why I started writing. It kind of, I don't know, it was always just like in my head, like chords and all that stuff. But Sarah Bareilles was like the first songwriter I started listening to. Obviously Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But now I listen to a lot of like John Moreland, Sean McConnell, that kind of like acoustic singer-songwriter
kind
of stuff. Laurie McKenna, if you know who she is.
I don't think I'm familiar. Yeah.
Laurie McKenna is my like idol.
She's
from Stoughton. Is that how you say it?
From where?
She's from Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Stoughton. I feel like it's called
Stoughton. Stoughton.
Stoughton.
I can't
even
pronounce. Yeah. Stoughton.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's an amazing songwriter.
Awesome.
Amazing. Amazing songwriter.
So you are 19, is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So like, we feel like our interests were, I think, maybe similarly developed at that time, but it was not a professionalized operation in the way that yours seemed to be.
You're rolling.
Was it, like, super, like supportive parents that kind of, like, got you on a certain track, or were you, like, pretty young, like, all right, mom and dad, like, let's start doing this thing. I need to put out an album. Like, what, how does one, like, you know, I was writing songs on my piano and being like in crappy high school bands, but I was not putting out professionally produced records and you know, setting up co-writes, anything that like you're doing now. So what was that transition like?
I mean, it's definitely like a lot because of my parents. Like, I'm so lucky to have parents that like want me to do this and want me to follow my dreams, because a lot of my friends, like, their parents are like, you can't go to school for music, and my parents are so cool because they're like, you can, like, I'm majoring in songwriting,
right?
But I don't know, I've always been really determined. Like, it's just kind of in my blood. And I think when I stopped doing theater like full time, I like needed something to like schedule and like be, I need to be doing stuff all the time or else I get so bored. So that's when I kind of figured out that people write songs with other people, which I didn't know, and started doing that. It's kind of weird at first.
Yeah.
Cause when you don't write with people and then you start writing with people, it's like, this is weird.
Right.
But
it's 100%.
Now it's just like normal to me, which is crazy.
Well, that's great. I mean, we're like, our first co-writes were like with each other because for years.
That's helpful. That's good.
I think it's a start, because for years we were writing independently and never wrote together.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think that's a start. But even now we're finally, it's like, so this co-write thing, maybe we should set some of those up.
Yeah.
That seems to be like, so we're at the very beginning of that as well. So.
Yeah.
But did you, because we've, you know, heard similar stories where a lot of the times it's where parents are kind of like, well, we set you up with studio time. We want you to meet with this producer. We want you to meet with this person. Was it ever like that? Or were you the one that was at the wheel kind of making those moves yourself?
I want to say it was always me. Like, my parents were never super like involved.
Okay.
They were very like, go for it. Like, do it. But you got this. Like, it's, they don't know anything about music, like the business or anything.
Okay.
So they were like, you know what, you do this. And for that, I'm so grateful because it's made me like independent and, you know, I had to figure out how to learn the ropes by myself.
Did you like, what was your starting point? Did you like research the business yourself, or were you kind of just like, I'm going to go out and perform as much as I can and see what happens? Like, what was your starting point?
I'm trying to think. I did like an open mic when I was 15.
Yeah.
That's where I like got my start. I visited Nashville for the first time when I was like 16.
Okay.
Hated it because all I saw was downtown and the inside of a studio.
Nashville party.
Yeah. So I saw Broadway and then the inside of a studio. So I was like, I hate Nashville, whatever. Came back, actually saw Nashville and was like, oh, I'm in love with this city.
There you go.
And yeah, like, I don't know. I kind of just dove into it.
Went for it.
Yeah, just went for it. I was like, well, I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
We had a similar experience with Nashville where it'll be fun to go a second time.
Yeah.
But it was very much like, well, I guess we're at this music conference and then now we're going to these
right.
like, bars that have like girls in boots and that's yeah. like the, I guess what,
oh,
is
yeah.
what Nashville is.
Right. No, like not at all. Down, I never go downtown anymore because
yeah.
I hate it.
Right.
The rest of Nashville is amazing.
Isn't it kind of set aside by a bridge, like you cross
yeah.
something
yeah.
and it's like very
East
different?
There's like
Nashville,
a river,
right?
a bridge. East Nashville's cool.
Yeah.
I live in like the Music Row area,
okay.
12 South area. It's really
right.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should come a second time. I'll show you my taco joints.
I think we're going
That's
two
exactly
weeks.
What we need. We'll be there the 22nd through the
28th.
Yeah.
Dope. Yeah, taco joints is what I need for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Come on, Boston Mexican food. Get it together.
Okay,
no,
I hated tacos and then I moved to Nashville and I was like...
I get it.
I can't believe that I thought I hated tacos.
See,
I just hate Boston
the
tacos.
Testament to Boston tacos, because no one should be allowed to say I hated tacos at any
exactly.
point in their life.
You heard it here, everybody.
When did you decide that the school you're going to now, that that was where you were going to end up? Did you like apply around, or was it specifically because it was in Nashville that you went?
I applied to 5 schools.
Okay.
Tons of my friends were applying to like 18 schools, and
yeah.
I was like, well, hope I get into one of these.
Right. USC, NYU,
I applied
Berkeley.
To USC. They rejected me. I applied to NYU, got waitlisted. Applied to University of Miami, got rejected. Got into Berkeley and Belmont.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was probably kind of easy because you had fallen in love with Nashville.
I just fell in love with Nashville,
yeah.
and Berkeley's awesome. I did a summer program there for
yeah.
5 weeks. Loved it.
Sure.
But I was just ready for a change, and I wanted to be... Like, I knew that I was going to move to Nashville anyways eventually, so
right.
I was like, I might as well get a 4-year head start.
Yeah,
then
talk about
move
the connections
know
you build
anybody, you know?
With the infrastructure like that.
Yeah. So
that's, yeah, that's somewhat answers my next question, but do you kind of see yourself staying in Nashville, like, for the long term? Or is it kind of tough to say? Obviously, when you're 19, it's kind of tough to...
I don't think
future,
it's tough to say, but then
yeah.
again, like, ask me a year from now, I don't know.
Right, 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 yeah.
But...
You think so?
I think so. And I mean, I want to be touring, too.
Right.
At some point. But I feel like Nashville's going to be my home base, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, we can definitely see that. And, you know,
yeah.
talk about an interesting comparison between Boston and Nashville and any other place. It seems like it's a place that people stay. And
mm-hmm.
I know we've said this before, probably on mic and definitely to each other, that we kind of started this podcast because Jack moved to Boston not quite a year ago. And
nice.
Me not quite 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, all right, what a great way to meet people who are doing cool things locally.
That's awesome.
And we was like, why do you stay in Boston? It seems like a lot of people, like, you know, come to Berkeley and leave. Why are you here? And it turns out, like, pretty much everyone we've talked to is kind of making plans to leave.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it really does seem like a place that people are kind of, like, moving through, and that Nashville is a destination
yeah.
for sure.
I mean, I love Boston.
Yeah.
I love it, but... Wait, where did you guys move from?
Colorado.
Yeah, Denver.
Oh, dope. My roommate last year is from Colorado.
Yeah.
She's
good
like,
place.
You have to visit. Yeah.
It's
shout
best.
Out.
She says it's just, like, freaking beautiful.
Yeah, it's crazy beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, on topic, we're contemplating, you know, going back and making it the new home base because,
yeah.
you know... Neither of us have lived in Denver proper, but the music scene is doing really well there.
That's what I've heard.
And,
I heard it's like popping.
it really is. It's good. Like when I was a kid, this well,
that was
none
like,
of this
well,
will
like
make
the
any
fray
sense to you, but like the Fray is from
I
Denver.
I love the Fray.
But like
awesome.
They were like a bunch of like pop punk
you'll
bands.
You'll never understand.
But like
I was a boy.
Or like Tickle Me Pink, like all these like
oh my god,
taking
Tickle Me Pink.
Yeah, like all these really crappy pop punk bands. Was kind of the Denver sound, and now it's getting like more of an identity that
mm-hmm.
makes sense to me.
Hmm.
Did you ever get the vibe that Boston has its own identity, or did you kind of get? We've gotten mixed reviews on people saying it's kind of a fend for yourself kind of city, so there's not much of a community. But other people have said kind of different things, and I know you might have a different perspective growing up here.
I think New York is a fend for yourself city.
Yeah,
I think Boston can be, but it doesn't have to be. Like, I feel like street performing is a community in itself.
Yeah.
Totally.
We should talk about that a little bit, because
yeah.
that's how you and I met.
I know.
And you alluded to playing covers before. So I just started street performing at Faneuil Hall, but you've been doing it for a good while, right?
Yeah. I think this is my 3rd or 4th summer. I can't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how's street performing treated you?
Good. Well, yeah. I mean, it's like my job this summer.
Yeah.
All my friends are like working as like waitresses and I get to perform every day, awesome. Which is like really cool.
Yeah.
And I meet people from like everywhere. I met Italians yesterday. I met people from China. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And they're all taking my music back to where they live. Absolutely.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Do you think it's, I mean, you have to think that it's really kind of improved your comfortability on stage and the way you perform. Any other like huge takeaways that you've like come away with that you will take to your own shows in the future, touring, that sort of thing?
I think street performing is why I like can perform comfortably. Mm-hmm. Like,
sure.
I started 4 summers ago. I had like an hour set list that I would repeat because I didn't know enough songs. And I, like, wouldn't talk at all. I was, like, super shy. But, like, street performing, people have no reason to stop and listen to you.
Exactly, right.
So when you get them, you're like, okay, I kind of know, like, I'm doing something right. And it's a lot of trial and error. But I feel like it's why I'm comfortable just, like, talking into a mic.
Right.
And it's being like, hey, what's up? Right. Like, this is me. But, yeah, it's definitely helped my confidence and,
yeah,
all that stuff.
I'm trying to learn those things as quickly as possible.
It's not easy.
There's no doubt that there's a learning curve and, you know, you want to make that as short as possible so that you can kind of like start making the kind of money that you know is possible.
Right.
Because when you first start out, like you said, you don't really talk into the mic. You don't really acknowledge because since it doesn't feel like a concert, it feels uncomfortable saying, thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
My name is such and such. The next song is this and this because people are literally walking by you. And so I kind of treated myself as background music. So people treated me as background music.
Right.
But once you start like communicating to people that this is a concert or something like it, then they'll start
sticking around,
engaging a little bit more.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself does Nashville have street performing? Is that a thing?
So they have like people downtown street performing, but
I don't love
being downtown. It's just like not my vibe. And you can like perform in the bars, like the honky tonks downtown.
Right.
But it's like 6 hour sets.
Yeah, and probably doesn't pay nearly as well.
And it's all country
covers.
Music, right?
Yeah.
All country covers.
Yeah, you have to know like all the top 100 country covers and I'm just like not ready for that.
probably half the money that you're making in Boston. Like it wouldn't add up at all.
Yeah. Because everyone's like drunk.
Exactly.
They're just like, woohoo!
Right.
It's 50 cents.
So that doesn't really add up so much.
Yeah.
In that case, where do you see yourself taking the operation now that you're like making the transition, doing more co-writes, getting away from Faneuil Hall? What's next for you?
I guess just writing. I'm really trying to work on my writing and I want to make a record this fall, hopefully. I want to like write for a few more months, kind of like get it all out of me. For now and then record.
See what sticks.
But I don't know. I'm just trying to like network and meet people and I don't know. I feel like if you kind of like know what you want and make certain goals, they kind of, if you visualize them, they can kind of just start happening.
Sure.
Yeah.
You just came out with a single.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's called Kiss and Run.
Really, really awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is that something that you think is going to be on a future album or is that just kind of going to be a one-off while you explore the...
I think that was kind of like a fun summer bop.
Okay.
The summer stuff, bop. I mean, I love, oh yeah, it's a summer bop for sure. But the stuff I've been writing recently is more like lyric heavy.
Okay.
More like, I don't know, you don't have to think about it too hard, but it makes you think, I feel like.
It requires a little more attention.
Yeah.
Then.
And it's more like acoustic. I want like harmonicas, cellos.
Oh, there you go.
Americana kind of vibe.
Nice.
So nothing too like bubblegum country pop, but more like folk.
A little less
Americana.
Radio forward.
Yeah, right. Which is like whatever.
Right.
I thought for a long time, like everything I write has to be for the radio. And then
this is not a hit. This is a hit. This is not a hit.
Yeah. And then I met some of my favorite writers in Nashville who are like geniuses. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, they're not writing like country hits every day. Like you just have to write what you want to write.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing.
I think we've had that experience too, where it's kind of, obviously, our recording operation is all home, but it's kind of like, especially once you're getting started, you just want everything that you put out there to be a smash.
Right.
Especially as you're trying to just get any sort of traction going.
Yeah.
And so it's tough to be like, well, this artsy-fartsy song that maybe 10 of my friends will like, but I really like it. Like, it's tough to motivate yourself to put that stuff out there.
It's so true.
Are you, I'm assuming when you go there, do you record any of your own stuff at all, or do you exclusively, have you just used studios?
I've been working on it. I try. Logic.
Dude, same. I'm not like preaching. I'm, he's great. I'm terrible.
Logic is like a spaceship to me, so I'm like still figuring it out, but it's definitely like an asset to have, like to be like, oh, I make my own demos. Like,
right.
That's super helpful. So.
Right. At least it'll like get you into co-writes with like,
right.
You know, being able to better communicate.
Right.
You just seem like a different, like, breed of human that I think you are, that
I know.
Certainly am not. That it's like, what, these people that are just so drawn to computers and like,
dude, you're so good at it.
I don't understand it at all. I'm like, I want to like get like from A to B really, really quickly.
Like, I can't even make my Instagram look good, not to mention like handle Logic, but I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
I think well, both of us are getting better, and I'm like starting to get to the place where the
mm-hmm.
things coming out I feel like genuinely proud of and can
that's
like
good.
Can stand next to a lot of things. Vocal production is really hard.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
It definitely came. It's been like since I graduated college and moved to New York that I like started learning it, and it was all by necessity when I started scoring music for
mm-hmm.
like for short films and videos. And even
yeah.
though this was a frustrating time of my life, like a huge benefit that I was working with a lot of like comedians who were making sketch comedy videos. And so
mm-hmm.
like, you know, they would come up with the zaniest things. Like, it's like, could you like a throwback 90s, like kind of like maybe it would be the theme song for like a zany
wow.
cartoon of the 90s. Or it's like, we need a, like a Les Mis parody. Or could you, do you know how to make a hip hop beat? And
yeah.
so I'm like,
guess
I
do now.
Yeah, give
yeah.
me 72 hours and a YouTube
I'll
tutorial.
Get back to you.
I know, right?
Lock myself in the basement. And so, I mean, it is like, you just kind of like run up against this wall. I'm like, I don't know how to do that.
But it's never something
that's
that intrinsically interests you?
It interests me. Like, I'm very fascinated and I want to know. I'm the kind of person who like says yes to everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I want to be able to like do that. So when people are like, hey, can you make a demo for this? I'm like,
yeah, gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah. So... I mean, it interests me. It just kind of scares me a little because it's,
sure.
like, so
cool.
much to look at.
It's, yeah, especially. Talk about a learning curve. And, you
yeah.
know, I'm definitely the type of person that says yes to everything. And because of
yeah.
that, I'm trying to pare back and, like, learn how to specialize.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot by saying yes to too many things. But now I'm
yeah.
trying to, like, refocus, like, you know, if you communicate, like, all right, you can call me for anything. I do this and this
yeah.
and this. Like, people won't call you for anything, but you want to be the
good
person that,
at,
like,
yeah.
I call this person for this.
Yeah.
I call Lauren not because she records my demos, because I need a Lauren,
yeah.
you know? And so
yeah.
you try to, like, widen the funnel and figure out what, like, feels right, and then, like, try to narrow it back down so you get specialized enough that people will call
absolutely.
You for something.
That's
yeah.
a really good point,
it's really
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you've had a – it's a pretty, you know – you're still pretty young, but you've worked with a lot of people and seen a lot of people with different career paths in Nashville and here. But do you have, at this point, have you gained any insight, like if you could give advice to someone who, like a 3 years younger version of yourself as to what direction you should take?
Wow. I would definitely tell a version of myself 3 years ago that, like, I think me 3 years ago was thinking everything I had to write had to be amazing. And so I would write, like, songs that were, like, oh, they're okay.
Right.
And I'd be like, oh, you're not a good writer anymore. Like,
right.
I just needed to chill
it's
the
like,
heck
quit.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mojo, yeah.
Like, whoa, girl, you got to chill. Like, you have to write 50 songs to get, like, 5 good ones, you
yeah.
know? Like, I was just so focused on making sure that everything I created was great.
I'm so
and
not
it's like
with that, especially
mm-hmm.
lyrically.
I don't
I'm
think,
really hard
yeah.
on myself lyrically.
I'm so hard on myself.
Yeah.
I mean, musicians always have, I feel like a lot of them, not all of them, have ego issues anyway. So it's kind of like,
right.
once you write one bad one, you're like you said, like, oh, my talent's gone.
Yeah, it's like,
it's,
oh, this is it.
I wrote 3 good songs as a fluke, and now I'm terrible.
yeah, exactly.
But, like, it actually goes through your head,
oh,
you know?
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, 100%. I guess I ripped someone off, and I'm terrible.
I know.
Right.
Okay, other than that, do you anything else that you would say to yourself?
Me 3 years ago. I think the whole thing of just to kind of, like, I knew what I liked 3 years ago. I listened to a lot of that Laurie McKenna singer-songwriter kind of stuff. But I was convinced that if I wanted to, like, make money and be successful, I had to write radio smashes.
Right.
So I guess to kind of just, like, follow what you actually like and love. Because
yeah.
when you're performing that kind of stuff, people will know that it's what you love to do.
Gotcha.
When I'm, like, singing pop songs that I don't necessarily love, like
yeah.
it's not as authentically me, I guess. I don't know. Just, like, be yourself.
And
because
you think people can tell.
I can tell.
Yeah, for sure.
yeah.
I think I that's the most, you know, hardest advice to hear and to give.
I think you have to go through it to understand it.
I think so. And yeah. It, because it sounds so corny because you hear it so often. Right. But I, you know, even in my couple months, we grew up on like Billy Joel, mm-hmm. Elton John, like mm-hmm. the original piano rockers. And maybe it's just that I kind of model my voice after those people. And when I'm singing those songs, that is how it comes out. But it's still like that's the stuff I play that people stop and listen for more than like. When I
all right, Uptown Funk,
yeah. Right? Yeah, when I play Bruno Mars or Ed Sheeran, like people like it doesn't really read.
So, yeah, like that seems not authentic. That's fair enough.
It's very true. Like I started playing a cover of "I Can't Make You Love Me," great song. I love that song. And like people were stopping so much more to listen to me sing that than they were like.
Yeah.
A Bruno Mars song or something. Sure. I love Bruno, but like I love Bonnie Raitt and all that stuff. And I think people can like genuinely can tell. Oh, this girl's like super into this. Yeah.
First time I played Hallelujah on a request, I was like, this is gonna kill the crowd, and it like
people love it.
Flopped, yeah. So that's
it's
that's
interesting.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Since there are a lot of like I'm sure in your since you're moving to a music industry town, you're learning that there's a lot of work in the music industry that's not, like you said, being a pop star and writing radio smashes. Mm. Is the artist path kind of the one you're on, professional songwriter? What do you see being like the post-college career?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Lots of my friends are like straight out of college getting like signed or whatever.
Right.
It can be like a little bit of pressure because you're like, oh, dang.
Right, especially with when everyone around you is
like,
and that's so much to navigate because signing with a label is such a huge deal.
I know,
where
I mean,
you can get swindled, you could like get when you're like 20, like sure, I'll do whatever you want,
right?
Yeah.
That's so much pressure.
And we're pretty I for sure am like pretty like preach the DIY thing because like I have a conflicting feelings about labels in,
mm-hmm.
in general, but you know,
I mean, I've heard a lot of people tell me just stay independent as long as you can,
they're begging
or if like they're offering you something that genuinely like will help you and
that you could never do yourself.
Yeah, like people in Nashville always say like if you're gonna sign with a publisher or a record label, like make sure they're like your biggest fans, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure they genuinely love what you do,
right? Not that you just like pitch them and they're like I guess.
Yeah. So I don't know, I think it would be cool to like be a songwriter for a little bit, but in the long run, like, I want to be singing my own songs.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Switching topics a little bit, because I would feel like I would regret not bringing it up. You were recently on America's Got Talent.
Yes, I was.
Very cool. I mean, very cool. Was it cool?
It was very cool.
Yeah. What on earth is that experience like?
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'd never done anything like that before. Because even doing acting, like, I'd never done TV stuff.
Right.
I did, like, a Puffins commercial once, but like reality TV. Oh yeah,
that's nothing to scoff at. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Ate so many puffins, like we ate puffins all day.
Yeah, like a lifetime supply.
No.
Well, never mind. Take it back. What a waste.
It was cool. I just never want to eat puffins again.
Yeah,
probably for sure.
But it's just different.
How did it come about in the first place, and what was the process like?
So they contacted me and they were like,
we saw your YouTube video.
Yeah,
as well.
We saw your Instagram. Like, we're in Nashville. It was literally like a few days before. Like, can you just come in? It was at like a really creepy warehouse. I was like, this is kind of weird. But they were super nice. And I mean, there's just cameras like in your face, which is something I'm just not used to. But I sang my songs. I like played keyboard. The sustain pedal was broken. I was like, this is going...
Oh, that's a nightmare.
Isn't that just annoying? I was like, I don't know how this is going to go, but...
Yeah, we basically, like, don't play.
I guess I quit now.
I can't play piano without a sustain pedal.
Oh, of course.
But they really wanted to hear me play keys, and I was like, ugh. But I guess they loved
it. Went well enough.
Yeah, and lots of phone calls happened, and they ended up flying, like, my family and me. Because I'm a triplet, fun fact.
That is...
Wow.
Yeah, and they were, like, in love with that.
Right.
They're like, "Well, this is so cool." So
that makes for good TV.
Yeah, they flew me out to LA, and I mean, it was amazing. Just because, like, I learned so much about TV and how it works, and there's just cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's a live audience, so there was like 2,000 people, and they all stood up and clapped for me. So
sweet.
I ain't mad about it.
Can you play one of your songs?
They had me doing an Ed Sheeran cover,
Shape
of You. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but it was cool.
Is that something that your classmates at Belmont also do? Is that, like, people are, like, talking strategy about how to get onto The Voice? Where do you see yourself in relation to, like, that TV industry?
I think, in general, people are finding out about Belmont more. And I think the shows are finding out about Belmont, too, because when I was there, literally, like, it was just Belmont students everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, they must know that, like, you know, Belmont's this up-and-coming school. But
yeah,
it's definitely a thing people at my school, like, go audition for, because we're all kind of like, why not, you know?
Yeah, see what happens.
But I think you kind of like quickly realize whether it's for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
For you, just because it's very intense. Yeah.
And especially, you know, that's pretty amazing exposure.
Mm-hmm.
That plenty of people have not been able to capitalize on once it's over. It's one of those things that you got to decide if you would even like want to be successful at.
Right. That's very true.
Did you notice an upswing in your following after the
A little
the
bit.
Show?
Yeah.
Just like Instagram followers and stuff?
They didn't like put my name on the screen or anything.
Oh, really?
Because it was like a quick little montage.
Mm-hmm.
But people found me.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah. Like I want to say 80. I got like 100
yeah,
or so followers,
yeah,
which
awesome.
Is cool. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I don't know how
helps.
They found me, but like good for you for being a stalker.
Yeah. Okay.
Redhead, Nashville.
Yeah. I guess it's not that hard.
Yeah, probably not.
It did have my first name, so.
Oh, doable.
Yeah, that's doable. For a seasoned Facebook stalker.
No.
I know, right?
Yeah. A couple maybe wrap-up questions I'd like to ask.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, of course.
First of all, do you have any songs that you're, like, listening to on repeat right now, obsessively?
Mm-hmm.
And two, like, top two guilty pleasures, or top one guilty pleasure?
Guilty
song.
Pleasure songs.
Song, not just general, yeah.
I've been listening to the new Charlie Puth record.
Okay.
Tons.
Sames.
Yeah.
It's just good. And, like, I dance to
What's
it.
What's your top song?
I really like Boy.
Yes! Same.
That's my favorite
That's
one.
That's a jam.
So good.
Yeah.
That was a summer bop right there.
I know.
There's a handful of those that I, like, am super impressed by and really interested to see, like, you know, what he does, especially because he seems, like, to have a really
Obsessive.
Tight grip on producing his own stuff and, like, writing a lot of his own stuff. So I wonder, like, how he's gonna transition for sure. Like,
there's some jams on there.
Yeah, he's an amazing writer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Any guilty pleasures musically?
Guilty pleasures. People have asked me this question before. I mean, like, guilty pleasures.
It could be a genre, it could be an artist.
I know. I love listening to, like, rock music in the morning, really random.
Okay.
And Beyonce. I would call that a guilty pleasure, just because I don't listen to Beyonce on the reg, but like...
Oh, okay, sure.
You're a closet Beyonce fan?
Yes, like if I'm in the car with my friends and it's like the right time, I'll like whip out some Beyonce jams, yeah.
And what kind of like rock in the morning? Like
80s rock or like...
ZZ Top.
Oh, there
nice.
You go.
In the morning.
That's
I don't
good.
Know why. I love it so much, I just do.
We'll make like a little controversy thing. Lauren says she hates Beyonce.
Oh my god, clickbait.
Yeah, exactly. You won't believe
Watch what she
Lauren.
Had to say about the Queen Bee.
My god. But yeah, you guys should listen to Lauren McKenna too.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
She just came out with a new record and it's really good.
That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, should we get you singing some schlong?
I think so,
some
schlong? What are you going to play for us this evening?
This is one I wrote with my friend Jamie Floyd down in Nashville. She was kind of talking, it was at a time when like a bunch of famous musicians had passed away, and she had this idea. She was saying that like when someone passes away, you can look at it as your first day without them, but you can also look at it as their first day in heaven. And I was like, oh my gosh, we gotta write that. So we wrote a song called First Day in Heaven.
Coffee, woke up early and did your laundry. Your brother called around 3 o'clock. I meant to tell you, but I forgot. Trying hard to make today ordinary, but the more I try, the more it hits me. No way around going through my first day. My first day without you. the hardest thing I'll ever do. How can I be here when you're not anymore? Ooh, that's the thing about firsts. They can be the best or the worst. And today mine is nothing like yours. But it makes me smile for a second on. It's your first day in heaven. Well, I can laugh and I can cry, knowing tears don't work. They're in the sky. You're happy with no end in sight. You're having the time of your life. I bet right now you're getting fit from wings. There's a silver glow to everything. It closes the break in my heart, knowing right where you are. On my first day without you, the hardest thing I'll ever do. How can I be here when you're not anymore? Well, that's the thing about firsts. They can be the best or the worst. And today mine is nothing like yours. But it makes me smile for a second on. It's your first day in heaven. Look out for me and don't ever stop. Just know today might be hard to watch. On my first day without you, the hardest thing I'll ever do. How can I be here when you're not anymore? Ooh, that's the thing about firsts. They can be the best or the worst. And today mine is nothing like yours. But it makes me smile for a second, knowing it's your first day in heaven.
This one is a song I wrote with, I actually wrote it on a songwriting retreat with Laura Brown and Jackie Gray, Jacqueline Jackie. But yeah, it's called The Architect.
Build your walls out of steel instead of wood. In hell, how I'd burn them down if I could. You shape the edges and rip out all. Cars and rooftops, Ivy League. a denim jean. That's just what you do.